Herb would have told them that he was speaking the truth, convinced them that he, Paul Helm, was a man who said his prayers and earned his bread. But Herb was gone. Gone. And Bonnie, too. Her bedroom window overlooked the garden, and now and then, usually when she was having a bad spell, Mr. Helm had seen her stand long hours gazing into the garden, as though what she saw bewitched her. "When I was a girl," she had once told a friend, "I was terribly sure trees and flowers were the same as birds or people, that they thought things and talked among themselves, and we could hear them if we really tried. It was just a matter of emptying your head of all other sounds, being very quiet and listening very hard. Sometimes I still believe that. But one can never get quiet enough." Remembering Bonnie at the window, Mr. Helm looked up as though he expected to see her, a ghost behind the glass. If he had, it could not have amazed him more than what he did, in fact, discern. A hand holding back a curtain, and eyes. But, as he subsequently described it, the sun was hitting that side of the house. It made the window glass waver, shimmeringly twisted what hung beyond it, and by the time Mr. Helm had shielded his eyes, then looked again, the curtains had swung closed. The window was vacant. "My eyes aren't too good, and I wondered if they had played me a trick," he recalled. "But I was pretty darn certain that they hadn't. And I was pretty darn certain it wasn't any spook, because I don't believe in spooks. So who could it be, sneaking around in there, where nobody's got a right to go except the law? And how did they get in, with everything locked up like the radio was advertising tornadoes? That's what I wondered. But I wasn't expecting to find out. Not by myself. I dropped what I was doing and cut across the fields to Holcomb. Soon as I got there, I phoned Sheriff Robinson, explained that there was somebody prowling around inside the Clutter House. Well, they came raring right on out. State troopers, the sheriff and his bunch, the KBI fellas, Al Dewey. Just as they were stringing themselves around the place, sort of getting ready for action, the front door opened. Out walked a person who no one present had ever seen before. A man in his middle 30s, dull-eyed, wild-haired, and wearing a hip holster stocked with a .38 caliber pistol. I guess all of us there had the identical idea. This was him, the one who came and killed them, Mr. Helm continued. He didn't make a move. Stood quiet, kinda blinking. They took the gun away and started asking questions. The man's name was Adrian, Jonathan Daniel Adrian. He was on his way to New Mexico and at present had no fixed address. For what purpose had he broken into the Clutter House, and how, incidentally, had he managed it? He showed them how. He had lifted a lid off a water well and crawled through a pipe tunnel that led into the basement. As for why, he had read about the case and was curious. Just wanted to see what the place looked like. And then, according to Mr. Helm's memory of the episode, somebody asked him was he a hitchhiker, hitchhiking his way to New Mexico. No, he said, he was driving his own car, and it was parked down the lane a piece. So everybody went to look at the car. When they found what was inside it, one of the men, maybe it was Al Dewey, said to him, told this Jonathan Daniel Adrian, "Well, mister, seems like we've got something to discuss." Because inside the car, what they'd found was a 12-gauge shotgun and a hunting knife.